He is a friend of the show. He was one of the stars of the 1980s Maple Leafs, a three-time, in fact, he did it consecutively, three-time 50-goal scorer, and his new book is out, Catch 22, My Battles in Hockey and Life. Rick Vive is with us to discuss this book and so much more. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Have you seen the reverse retro jerseys, Rick, or are we throwing a curveball at you here bright and early in the morning? It's all over the place.
Yeah, I've seen them, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like the Maple Leaf one. I wore that uniform with a different crest, obviously, but I don't like the white all the way down the sleeves, and, you know, I'm a kind of traditional guy that likes the clean cut, the old style Maple Leaf, and oh, that's just what I like. I'm not big on the one that they put out, and I get it. It's the league and maybe the PA trying to get some revenues in before Christmas and before they start up, perhaps January 1st, but not a big fan of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's running. We've run a Twitter poll here, and we got almost 1,000 votes, Rick. And you strong like, dislike, or strong dislike are the four options on the poll. And 40% of respondents are saying strong dislike, and that leads the poll. I like the Stanley Cup winning logo. That was the crest of the last team to win the Stanley Cup in 1967. But I'm with you. The stripe down the side. And the 80s reflection is kind of a little much. All right, let's get to the book, pal, because we've been looking forward to this. When did you first decide that you wanted to chronicle your life and chronicle your hockey career?
Well, it's kind of been a while. I mean, I've thought about it. I've been asked about it many times over the years, and then finally, last fall, I got together with Scotty, and we talked about it, and I said, I think it's time, and he approached the Penguin Random Publishing House, and who we had done books with before. We kind of hammered out a deal, and away we went, and you know, it took us about 5 months to get it done, or 6 months, roughly, but it was a lot of fun. It was something that I wanted to do, that I wanted people to know that, because I think a lot of people have the thought that, you know, you played in the NHL for 13 years, everything was perfect your whole life, and now you're rich as hell, and everything's great. Well, you know what? I don't know if there's too many people in the world that have perfect lives, and there's always challenges and hurdles to get over, and I wanted to share that with people so they would know that things aren't like that all the time.
You mentioned Scotty. So Scott Morrison, who you wrote the book with, how did you guys work out writing it? Did you write kind of a transcript first and then he went over it, or did you guys kind of get together in a room and do a chapter or a story at a time?
Well, we actually did it over the phone, and he recorded everything, and we just talked about, you know, how we were going to do it, and you know, then he would ask me questions, and of course we had to consult with my older sister, who's a year older than I am, because I couldn't remember any damn dates or anything. so he had to get confirmation on a lot of things from her, and so it was kind of back and forth, and we were on the phone quite a bit. He did a lot of taping, and then he did a fantastic job putting everything together.
Rick Vive is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And just a reminder, the book is called Catch 22, My Battles in Hockey and Life. And Rick, the description of your book talks a little bit about growing up, and it was a challenge for you. And I'm going to read straight from the prelude to the book. Growing up in a household plagued by alcoholism, the gifted young hockey player took shelter in the company of his grandmother and a blind and severely disabled uncle. Rick learned quickly that there are more valuable things in life than hockey. Tell us a little bit about your time growing up. And, well, I did read there that, as you said, you realize there are some things more valuable than hockey. Did hockey itself, the sport, serve as a bit of a refuge for you?
Well, there's no question that, you know, whenever I was on the ice, it was kind of that was kind of like my happy place. And it always was, even when I was playing professional, that, you know, if I could get on the ice a half an hour before anybody else with a bucket of pucks and, you know, just shoot and skate around and shoot pucks, it was, for me, that was when I was most happy. And although I spent many, many happy days at my grandmother's with my uncle, and he loved music, and they had a record player for him. He would get in his wheelchair, but he would, you know, kind of have trouble getting the needle on the record. And so I loved going down there and telling him, just stay in bed and I'll put the records on and sit there for a few hours and play music. And to me, that was between him and my grandmother, it just put a lot of things in perspective in life. And I learned a great deal about perseverance and you know, overcoming disabilities and problems while I was there.
Was there one specific moment in your career where you went through something really difficult that's maybe, you know, in the book you'd want to tell us about? I feel like every player has that one team or situation, or it's a general manager or owner they don't get along with and they get moved. It just feels like every guy has that one moment where it really tests them.
Well, I had quite a few, actually. you know, starting out, you get picked fifth overall, and then in Vancouver, and then in February, you're traded of your first season, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness, like what's going on here? Like, am I going to be able to play in this league? And, you know, and then coming to Toronto, they said, hey, you're going to play a lot. You're going to get a great opportunity here in Toronto, and just go and do what you do best. And that was kind of a nice thing to hear. And then, of course, they followed through, and I did get a great opportunity and took advantage of it. And went out and played some of my best hockey that I had in my whole career.
With Rick Vive, you were a goal scorer in the Quebec League. I mean, you had 51 goals in 76-77 with Sherbrooke, and then you followed that up in your second and final year in junior with 76 goals. So you were a highly talented offensive player in junior hockey. There are some players, Rick, as you know, who can score in junior, but then who have had to adjust to carve out an NHL career. When did you realize that you could be a 30-plus goal scorer annually, and for a period of time there, three consecutive years in the mid-80s, a 50-goal scorer?
Well, I think I figured that out, Scotty, I believe, in junior. You know, playing against the best players in the Quebec Junior League. And, you know, because I scored different ways, I had to find ways to score goals. And back then, the game was a lot more physical. It was a lot of stuff going on in front of the net. Guys could hold and hook and cross-check and everything. And, you know, so I had to figure out different ways. And I knew at that point that I could score at any level. And, you know, so I was full of confidence turning pro and knowing that I could do it. And it was just a matter of getting kind of acclimatized to the NHL and what it was about and the people I was playing against and that sort of thing. And then once I figured all that out, then, you know, the light went off and things started to go.
And you got to understand, we live in a world, and you know this, where Austin Matthews takes three minor penalties a year. And I mean, like, so when I look at your PIMS, your first full year with the Maple Leafs was 1980-81. You'd been traded the year before, but your first full season, so you scored 33 goals that year. That's the year before you first scored 50. You had 229 penalty minutes. And then in your first 50-goal season, you had 157 penalty minutes, and you were 100-plus for a few years consecutive beyond that. I mean, look, you were a little before my time at that point, Rick. Were you dropping the gloves every night? Were there some misconducts in there? What was up?
Yeah, there was a few misconducts, I'm pretty sure. But there was a lot of fights. And, you know, I think the biggest thing was, you know, stick your nose in there and show these guys that you're not going anywhere. They can try to intimidate you all night long, but you're not leaving. You're going to be there, and you're going to stand in front of the net, and you're going to take whatever they're going to give you and to score a goal. And that's the way I played. That's kind of the way I played my whole life. And you know, I wasn't going to get pushed around and not pushed back. And, you know, I think that was one of the things that John Brophy taught me when I played in Birmingham in the WHA was if you don't stick up for yourself, they're going to run you out of the league. And I took that to heart, and I said, okay, good. Then that's what I'm going to do. And but I had always had been that type of player that I wasn't going to let anybody get in my way. And certainly now the greatest thing was when Mike Nicklick came in as a coach, and, you know, I was getting a lot of penalty minutes, and he said, you know, Rick, we can't afford to have you in the box. We need you on the ice to score goals. And I said, oh, my goodness. Thank you, Mike. That was like music to my ears that I didn't have to do that as much anymore.
For people that pick up the book, Rick, Catch 22, what's one thing you want them to take away from it?
Well, Mike, I think the biggest thing is the story and the fact that it's honest and it's what it is. And, you know, I don't hold back on anything. I had a lot of challenges in my life that I, you know, I'm very proud that I overcame, and they're all in there. And I just want people to look at it and say, you know, wow, like he's kind of telling everything and what he went through and for, you know, his entire career, life, whatever it might be. And, you know, take away from that the fact that, you know what, you know, professional athletes at the highest level don't have perfect lives, and there are challenges along the way, and the great ones overcome them, and the other ones can't, and end up not playing in the NHL very long.
Rick, we'll leave it there. The book is called Catch 22, My Battles in Hockey and Life. Your story, written with the help of Scott Morrison. And I've told you this to your face, and I've said it on the air before, so I'm not like some brown nose and kiss ass, but you were my first favorite Leaf. And when I was a little kid, and I remember when you were no longer the captain, and I didn't understand. I'm sure that's detailed in the book, but I'm really looking forward to reading this. You were a great Leaf of the 80s. You still kick around, do a ton with the alumni. We wish you well on this. And I'm sure it'll sell very, very well in this market. And we'll certainly do a follow-up soon and definitely have you on once the season begins, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Well, I appreciate it, Scotty. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. You know, I think it's well written, and it's not a very difficult read, but there's a lot of stuff in there I think that people can relate to. People of every day go through things, and I think they can relate to it. So I'm just glad that I was able to get it out there. And the only disappointing thing is that I'm not able to go out and do book signings and meet the fans and so on. But it is what it is, and, you know, we'll have to get through it and live with it.